Bible is filled with practical wisdom. And on Truth For Life Weekend, we are beginning a series of topical studies drawn from the book of Proverbs. The series is titled Wise Words. We're starting with a close look at genuine friendship. What qualities should we look for in a true friend and cultivate in ourselves? Alistair Begg is teaching from Proverbs 18.
Tonight, just briefly, I want to think with you about the nature and importance of friendship. Friendship is, of course, I think, vitally important to everybody who lives. Somebody who says that they have no interest in friendship is a poor soul and probably has something wrong with him. A friend is a person, says the Oxford English Dictionary, and we should trust it, is a person joined by intimacy and affection to another. And the fact of the matter is that in the book of Proverbs, you will find a tremendous amount concerning friendship. And my purpose this evening is simply to deal with it on three fronts. First of all, to notice a couple of characteristics of true friendship. And then secondly, to see how those characteristics are ultimately embodied in Jesus. And finally, to ask us to ask ourselves whether we are enjoying this kind of friendship. Now again, we don't have to try too hard to realize that people are greatly in need of friendship. In the old days, before the internet, there were people who were ham radio operators. You may even have been one. I always was intrigued by those people. They had gigantic aerials down at the bottom of their garden, and usually a little shed. And if you dropped by on your bicycle late in the evening, you could hear them shouting out into the night, "Hello, hello, anybody out there, anybody out there?" And apparently, they stayed up deep in the night, hoping that somebody somewhere in the hemisphere would actually come back and say, "Hello, I'm in Anchorage, and I'm reading you loud and clear." But of course, now with the internet, apparently, everybody's doing it. And I don't think I've ever been in one of these chat rooms. Chatting involves audio for me, so the idea of ticket typing to talk to somebody is a weird experience. But I read and I observe, and it is apparent that people are meeting their wives and meeting their long-lost sweethearts. They're meeting everybody as a result of sitting in isolation and getting on this thing and saying, "Is there anybody out there who would talk to me? I'm looking for a friend. I'm looking for a person with whom I may be joined in intimacy and affection." Poor is the friendless master of a universe. Rich is the individual who has one friend in the whole world. One genuine friend. We have many acquaintances, people with whom we spend time, lots of interaction, plenty of coming and going. But so much of that is superficial. So much of that is built on things that are very ephemeral. They're not really of significance at all. And when we think in terms of the friendship, the kind that sticks closer than a brother, to which Solomon refers, we're dealing with something at a far deeper level. Well, what then are some of the characteristics of true friendship? Let me just mention one or two. First of all, a true friend is always loyal. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. In other words, this friendship that exists between these individuals is not based on things that are passing away. It's not the kind of friendship that was known by the prodigal. You remember in Luke chapter 15, where apparently when everything was going swell, he had plenty of folks who were around him. And when his fortunes turned bad and he ended up working feeding pigs, then all of his friends deserted him. Well, of course, they weren't friends at all. And the real question about friendship has to do with loyalty. Being prepared to stay with the person through thick and through thin, whether they're successful or unsuccessful, whether they are still to our liking or not to our liking. irrespective of whether they have offended us or not. Friendship establishes loyalty at all times. When you've made a fool of yourself and a royal hash of things, you need at least one friend to whom you will go and will say to you, but you haven't done a permanent job of it. There is still hope. Secondly, genuine friendship is marked not only by loyalty, but also by honesty. It is impossible to enjoy friendship or to establish friendship if dishonesty is part of what is going on. And dishonesty, of course, appears in a number of ways. I'm going to mention them. In 27 verse 6 of Proverbs, we read, "The wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." Now, doesn't this just seem very paradoxical? Of course it is. You say, if we'd come upon this manuscript, we might have said, oh, it's got all jumbled up. It should read that a friend multiplies kisses and you get wounds from an enemy. Well, of course you do. But the point that Solomon is making is that when you receive a wound from a friend, you can trust it. But you shouldn't trust the multiplications of kisses. Now, of course, this is very, very important, isn't it? We don't want to overstress it one way or another. Otherwise, we may become very, very skeptical and be afraid of anybody who would show affection to us at all. But the warning is very, very clear. And indeed, the challenge is there. Am I the kind of person who is able, because of the well-being of my friend, to wound them, not in a way to discourage them or dispirit them or bring them down, but on the few occasions, if you like, that I take out my sword, do I wound because I long for their best? Do I inflict pain for their progress? Or do I inflict pain just because I'm bad? Chapter 28 and verse 23 says that he who rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue. Our whole society is put together in such a way that if you go and say nice things to people and butter them up and say all those things, that somehow endears you to them. That's what makes the world go round. Most of it is fatuous. It is irrelevant. It is spurious. It is often unhelpful. The man who flatters his friend, says Solomon 29:5, the man who flatters his friend spreads a net for his feet. The man who flatters his friend spreads a net for his feet. So a rebuke, the Bible tells us, may well transform us. Flattery will only trip us up. If you reflect on those who have been the best of friends to you, I think you will probably find that this truth and this principle is borne out. Now, in this respect, it is very, very important that you choose the right kinds of friends. That's why we teach our children that they should be careful in making friendships, don't we? That they shouldn't just be friends with everyone and anyone. They should be kind to everyone and anyone. But to establish a relationship which is based on intimacy and affection needs to be done with great care and attention. Because not everybody who wants to come alongside you, not everyone who wants to get into your space, not everyone who is interested in establishing some kind of interest in you, necessarily is motivated by any genuine sense of friendship. The Puritans were very clear on this. Let me give you one of them. He says, in the choice of a bosom friend. Now you understand the importance of that adjective. We're not just talking about general interaction with people. In the choice of a bosom friend, some respect ought to be had to his prudence. Some men, though holy, are indiscreet, and in point of secrets are like sieves. They can keep nothing committed to them, but let all run through. A blab of secrets is a traitor to society, as one that causeth much dissension. It is good to try him, test him, whom we intend for a bosom friend before we trust him. Many complain of the treachery of their friends and say, as Queen Elizabeth, that in trust they have found treason. That's very, very important. Because how in the world can you ever share your heart, your life, your mind, your hopes, your dreams, your fears, your aspirations with somebody who's like a sieve? And that is, of course, one of the great challenges for those of us who are in any partnership and leadership. Why is it so difficult for someone in pastoral ministry to form really deep and meaningful friendships? Part of it is right there. The third characteristic that I want to mention, and we could go through many, is sensitivity. Sensitivity. Not simply honesty and loyalty, but sensitivity. Friendship must always carry with it a sense of the appropriate. Chapter 26, verses 18 and 19. A man who is caught lying to his friend and says, "I was just joking," is like a madman throwing around firebrands, arrows, and death. And those of us who talk more than we ought cannot get ourselves extricated from a lot of the chaos that we cause by simply seeking to dismiss it with a cursory statement, "Ah, but I was only kidding," or, "Oh, it was just a joke," or, "I didn't really mean it." Because once the word is out, it's out, whether you meant it or not. So a sensitive heart in friendship will say no to gossiping. Say no to gossiping. Because gossip separates friends. Proverbs 16:28, a gossip separates friends. You can take it to the bank. Is it really a friend who comes to you and says, "Do you know that when you went out of the room the other day, Joe and Bill, who were left in the room, said this about you? And I'm only telling you because I think it's something you need to know." I've always had difficulty with that. And the person who conveys the information to me most usually goes significantly down in my estimation. Because I can't understand what the motivation is. Does it help anybody to pass along this information? After all, they may have had a moment when they said something they wish they could have back. Or it may be a fixed view on their part. But what possible end is served by you being the bearer or me being the bearer of this information? Gossip separates friends. And also, in 17 and in verse 9, another staggering statement. "He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends." Do you see what he's saying? Not somebody who says, "We're not going to call sin, sin," or "We're not going to call wrong, wrong," but somebody who is obeying the New Testament injunction, understanding that love covers over a multitude of sins. "Yes, I know you did that. Yes, I understand that that was a disaster. Yes, of course I do. But let us cast over it a veil of silence. Let us seek, by God's enabling, to remember it no more. For surely that is how God keeps a record. No record at all, written clear. So you can look me in the eye and I will tell you, it will never pass from here this moment." With that individual, you may have confidence. But the person who repeats the matter separates close friends. My dear friends, let me tell you this, that when you trace a loss of friends in the journey of your life and you cannot understand what happened, I can guarantee you that a significant amount of the time what happened in separating you from her or him from him is gossip and the repetition of matters that should have been buried immediately they came to light. That is the loyalty, the sensitivity, the honesty that marks genuine friendship. That's the kind of friendship that sticks closer than a brother. Well, you say, "I'm not sure that I have found that. I'm not sure that I am that. Where could we find this embodied?" Well, the answer is, of course, in the Lord Jesus. We often sing, don't we? earthly friends may fail or leave us, one day soothe, the next day grieve us, but this friend will never deceive us. Oh, how he loves. This friend is the same yesterday and today and forever. Never in a mood, never lets us down, never treats us capriciously. I've found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the lily of the valley and the bright and morning star. And the chorus says, in sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay, and he tells me every care on him to roll. Here's friendship. Where can I find absolute honesty, complete sensitivity, genuine consistency? In the Lord Jesus. One of the reasons that some find friendship so difficult is because it demands vulnerability, it demands openness. Every friendship makes demands. So does friendship with Jesus. That's why we read from John 15, as I draw this to a close, you are my friends, he says, if you do what I command you. What does he command us to do? To repent. In the first instance, repent and believe the good news. Turn away from our sin and turn to the Lord Jesus and embrace his friendship. Receive him as a friend. For his friendship extends far and beyond the bounds of often our human friendship. They said of Jesus that he was the friend of tax collectors and sinners. Somebody asked me just a few weeks ago, and how do you, quote, do evangelism at Parkside Church? And I had to think for a minute, and I said, I don't know. I said, I don't know that we have a way of doing evangelism at Parkside Church. I said, I think the way that people are becoming Christians at Parkside Church is as a result of the friendship of the people in Parkside Church. That when your friends and neighbors look at you and they say, there's consistency, there's loyalty, there's honesty, there's sensitivity, there's someone I think I can go to and ask. There's someone I can go to and unburden my soul. And when they ask, what's the source of this friendship in you? And you tell them, well, I found a friend, such a friend. He loved me before I ever knew him. He drew me with the cords of love and as he bound me to him. And round my heart so closely twined. These ties that nothing can sever, because I'm his and he's mine forever and forever. Human friendships are passing. If for no other reason, death will separate us. Geography may remove us from the intimacy of day-to-day affection. Time may diminish some. But it's never true with Jesus. If you make friendship with him the first choice of your youth, if we sustain friendship with Jesus in the maturing years of our lives, if we look forward to his friendship for all of eternity, then no matter what we face, we can rest in him. What kind of friend that wee girl Evie used to sing, what kind of friend is here on a clear day and leaves at the first sign of rain? Not this kind of friend, she says. And then she sings of Jesus. I started here this evening with friendship. I could have gone to some of the others. They get worse. The series gets worse. We're going to do one on slander. One on laziness. And those are the two high spots. I don't know about the rest. But I think I started here because as I walked away from a friend on Friday morning who doesn't waste words and isn't flip at all. He is gravitas on two legs. He turned to me, I was continental and he was American, and he turned to me and he looked me in the eye and he said, farewell, my friend. And I walked away and I said, that was a kind of archaic way to say goodbye. And then I thought again, I said, he wasn't trying Victoriana. He did that purposefully. every single word he chose with purpose. Farewell, my friend. That means the world to me. It means the world to you too, to have a friend like that, doesn't it? Will you commit yourself? Will we commit ourselves to being good friends? We can't all be the bosom buddies of everybody else. That is a forlorn notion. We tyrannize ourselves if we think, well, I don't know him or her as well as I might or may or whatever. Don't worry about that at all. But in the sphere of your influence, in the realm of your contact, say, Lord Jesus, you who are the perfect friend, make me a friend. Make me a friend.
Having and being a genuine friend is a life-transforming treasure. All believers have a friend in Jesus. You're listening to Alistair Begg on Truth for Life Weekend. Alistair returns in just a minute. Whether Jesus is already your friend or you'd like him to become your friend, you can get to know him better through the testimony of God's Word. It's the focus of a series Alistair preached a while back titled To Know Christ, and I'm mentioning that series today because we recently released a study guide that's a companion to the 9 messages in the To Know Christ series. When you listen to the sermons one at a time and then complete the corresponding sections in the study guide, you'll gain a more complete understanding of the person and work of Christ, what his mission means for you personally. All of the messages from Alistair can be heard for free online. The study guide can be ordered as a booklet, or you can download it for free at truthforlife.org/knowchrist. By the way, this is the last weekend we're talking about the book Man of Sorrows, King of Glory. This is a book that explores the atoning work of Jesus from a number of less frequently considered perspectives, including how Adam failed as the first prophet, priest, and king, and how through his perfect life, Jesus succeeded in those same roles. Find out more about the book Man of Sorrows, King of Glory when you visit our website at truthforlife.org. Now here is Alistair to close today's program with prayer.
Father, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for your honesty in touching us where we need to turn from sin. Thank you that your wounds always come in order that you may pour in your healing balm. Lord Jesus, thank you that you treat us with such sensitivity that you are tender in your care. Lord Jesus, thank you for your loyalty to us, standing with us through thick and thin, being there when we fall down, being there even when we turn our back on you and when we run away, when, like Peter, we deny you, and we find you in the morning time on the shore making breakfast. And then, Lord Jesus, fill us with your love that we may in turn extend friendship in an increasingly self-centered, self-satisfied, dislocated culture. Bring people to become committed followers of Jesus Christ as a result of genuine friendship discovered in this place. To your glory we ask this. Amen.
I'm Bob Lapine. Thanks for listening this weekend. Join us next weekend when we'll consider the topic of laziness. The culture places a high value on a life of ease, but find out why the Bible urges us to resist idleness. The Bible teaching of Alistair Begg is furnished by Truth for Life, where the learning is for living.